Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to a slightly highly anticipated episode of AEW Rampage tonight. First episode last week, what did you make of it? I loved the one-hour aspect of it all.
I love the one-hour aspect of it too. I don't like the immediate impulsive take of, well, Dynamite's too long in comparison to that. It's like, no, a two-hour show can be good, but also a one-hour show can be absolutely fantastic. There was none of the second-hour sag, which has, in fact, become a problem. And it didn't feel like this dry, oh, here's some three matches. I like a nice potent cocktail on my episodic pro wrestling television. I like matches, I like promos, I like angles, I like a great version of all three of those things. You're getting a match-heavy show on Rampage, but the matches get juice from the angles on Dynamite. So it doesn't feel like matches for the sake of matches, which will get tiresome. If they can continue to effectively build the anticipation for those matches on Rampage, perfect. What a perfect show.
It's the first dance tonight.
Yes.
In Chicago. It's a surreal thing to be previewing a show with three matches, three exciting matches, which we will talk about, of course, in due course. But in reality, anyone watching this show is watching for something that's not been advertised, aren't they?
Indeed. They are watching it in rapt anticipation, built via an incredible viral marketing campaign. And we, and by we, I mean myself, Adam Wilborn, and the other daddy boy, Michael Hamflick, go into far greater depth on this on a podcast that hit your feeds yesterday. If you somehow missed it, I recommend going to listen to that immediately after this one. What else are you going to do? So I'll just summarize briefly for those who have listened to it. CM Punk has signed with AEW. There is not a chance in hell that there's any kind of handshake agreement. He has signed on the dotted line. He will be there, and he only won't be there if some kind of unthinkably horrible pandemic-related reason like forbids him from being there. Surely they've wrapped the lad up in cotton wool, to use a bit of a football idiom there. Surely they've wrapped the lad up in cotton wool ahead of this big showdown. Yep, CM Punk is All Elite. Like, I can't wait to see the graphic. As much as the actual appearance, which I'll very briefly give my thoughts on how that's going to go, but I just can't wait for the graphic. As soon as that show's finished, CM Punk's All Elite. Hopefully Jeff doesn't bugger it up, as he's sometimes prone to do. But yeah, that's going to be great. CM Punk's going to be there. And at this point, looking at the structure of the card, you might not even get a promo from him. And I don't think I've got an issue with that. I think people have paid money for the pop, for the moment, for the groundbreaking historical moment. Like, CM Punk was so on the outs with professional wrestling as an industry that he severed several close friendships that merely reminded him of it. So this is unthinkable, but think about it. Love it. It's happening. Very briefly, and I want to see how you want to do it, because I don't think I can remember what your idea was if you had one yesterday. But for me, Moxie Garcia main event. And if you look at how Tony Khan books, he likes to do stable-based, association-based storytelling and all of these moving parts of the stables and the associations converge to these great angles. So consistent with Tony Khan's booking approach, I think Moxley goes over Garcia in the main event. Garcia's allies 2.0 beat Moxley down in tandem with Garcia at the close of the main event. This draws out Moxley's associates, Eddie Kingston, and more recently Sting and Darby Allin. But then you realize that's 4-on-3. Mm-hmm. They don't do 4-on-3 babyface beatdowns because it's not NXT War Games. They grasp psychology in this company. So when Kingston and Sting and Moxley thwart these promising prospects slash wonderful goobers, Darby Allin will realize, I'm not needed here. I'm going to stay in the ring. I'm going to have my back to the tunnels as I watch the brawl sprawl out into the crowd. And then I'm going to stay in the ring. The realization's going to hit. Oh my God, we've seen hints with Darby Allin and CM Punk. This is the moment. The crowd are going to go absolutely banana. Darby Allin's going to slowly turn around. He's going to face the entrance tunnels. And then Sirius by the Alan Parsons Project is going to hit. As I said yesterday, prog rock for a punk rocker doesn't work, but it's wrestling, so it does. And then the transmission breakup, cult of personality, one of, if not the all-time mega pops in pro wrestling history. God damn it. I hope you've wrapped them in cotton wool because this is going to be a pop for the ages. It might be the loudest a pro wrestling arena has ever sounded.
It is so exciting to anticipate all this. It is something that is, you know, we're discussing in the office. We're going to be doing a live stream. Andy and Ben Royer will be live streaming their reactions to Rampage. And that's like 3 a.m. UK time. And we're talking about whether you set an alarm or whether you watch SmackDown before or whether you have a nap in the afternoon. It is sort of appointment television. It's exactly what it is. I genuinely don't think I could book it better than what you've suggested. I love that suggestion because, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. As much as I love MJF and I particularly love him boiling AEW fans' piss, I wouldn't do the fake out cult of personality because I think a lot of people have said that. And I even read some this morning and they said, like, oh, here's what you do. You do cult of personality, out comes MJF, loads of heat, and then cult of personality and it's actually CM Punk. I just think, as you said, it waters down the pop that is going to be, it's going to blow the roof off the place. It's mad to think, you know, what, how long ago it would have been, 18 months ago, you know, when we were sat here and we were, you know, we enjoyed the pops at WrestleMania, for example, or, you know, when they eventually had fans back for AEW shows regularly and things like that. It's like you say, it's going to be in that top 10 biggest pops ever.
Top five at a minimum, yeah, for me.
It's going to be ridiculous, and I don't think I could book it better. It's literally going to be the second biggest signing of AEW's week after 2.0. So
yeah, absolutely. I can't disagree with that. And here's another thing. I think people have expressed concern that if they do not deliver Punk in the very first segment, just Rampage kicks off, they run through the card, and then cult of personality hits. I think if this doesn't happen, people are expressing concerns that they'll just chance CM Punk throughout and dump on the show. Like, no, they know what's happening. Mm. They've loved luxuriating in the anticipation of it potentially actually happening. And they're just a kind of lot. You don't get what chance on an AEW show.
No.
The only time I've seen a guy they've wanted to position as a top star get rejected and get CM Punk chance was on Dynamite the other week. And Christian Cage shut them down immediately with a fantastic line. That's the only time I can recall fans not playing along. And realistically, considering the choice of opener, this is going to be a nice little segue, to start the show, I can't see them dumping on the guy I expect to actually come out first.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right there. It's one of those where, I know it's Chicago, I know it's CM Punk, but it's not like if he doesn't come out at the beginning of the show, it's not happening. It's not them rejecting, you know, the Royal Rumble or whatever, you know, and anything like that. It is just a case of, we all know that it's probably going to be in the main event. It isn't going to be, you know, heading into an ad break or something. It's going to, you're going to close the show with it, probably. Or they could open it. I mean, it's not out of the realms of possibility, but I would anticipate, as you suggested yesterday as well, that it will be at the close of the show because what a hell of a sign off and, you know, Excalibur shouting about join us on Dynamite for more fallout from that. I mean, it's the perfect lead-in and what have you. Let's start with some of the matches, though, on the show tonight. It's the first round, or I should say first round, it's the semi-finals of that AEW Tag Team Eliminator tournament to see who will face the Young Bucks inside a steel cage at All Out. And it's a team that they just faced going up against Private Party, Jurassic Express. And yeah, you alluded to it there, but Jungle Boy out first?
I'll put Jungle Boy out first. No one's going to boo Jungle Boy for not being CM Punk. These people know what they bought a ticket for, and it was a promise. They are not going to think, right, okay, well, this sucks. They're a nicer set of fans than most in North America. And look, when that show hits, you're going to hear 15,000 rabid fans chant the name of CM Punk. When Baltimore hits, they're not going to go, boo! It's Jungle Boy. That song's awesome. It's the perfect guy to extinguish the mere threat of any kind of rejection. So yes, Jungle Boy's the perfect guy to come out first. Luchasaurus is still like massively over. I think people have accepted that this is his lot, but he's still a really entertaining figure. I actually have a few concerns about this particular match. If you recall, we've seen Private Party and Jurassic Express interact in a 10-man tag on Dynamite earlier this year. And it was sloppy as all hell. Mm. It really wasn't great. It was indie-rific in the extreme. But you just have to think that this is the biggest crowd in AEW history, one of the loudest cities in pro wrestling history. After, or like during a pandemic, people really want to make noise for it. I think that they will feed off that reaction. And even if it's like an uneven or slightly flawed match, it'll still get massively over. Jurassic Express will go over. Mm-hmm. The Private Party are heels. I expect an all-face final. And I think it'll be really, really strong. Private Party have done well, I think, in the heel role after doing a few sloppy performances when they turned face. And to be honest, they don't get booked anywhere near enough for me to be completely assured of the fact. And as I said, there's still that match from that Dynamite that makes me think, oh, Christ. There's still a lot of greenness in that ring, but I expect it to be a total crowd pleaser. I expect it to be a banger and just a perfect start to a show. Get everyone in a celebratory atmosphere. And what better way to do that than have two beloved cult figures do loads of mad athletic things?
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. Jurassic Express goes over. I think Jurassic Express, we are assuming versus Lucha Bros in the final, would be a hell of a eliminator. And still slightly unpredictable. We were assuming Lucha Bros, but there's an argument to be made. You made it on the Dynamite review just the other day that, well, yeah, Jurassic Express could easily be put back into that match because the whole point of a cage is to keep people out.
Indeed, it feeds into the story if, in fact, Jurassic Express win. And don't worry, I've got football in my head. So it should be either basketball or wrestling on the first dance, and somehow I've got football in my head. But to use another football analogy, soccer. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
To use a football analogy, it's what I would call a nice selection headache. Mm. Like having two similar players, but one position that sort of fits them into the system. You've either got the crowd-pleasing favourites in Jurassic Express, the sentimental favourites, who, given the angle that we saw, got screwed, and realistically, under the parameters of the storyline, they should be like going through. But then you've also got like the most exhilarating tag team in the world, not named the Young Bucks, against the most exhilarating tag team in the world in a ridiculous stipulation that you can imagine they'd love playing with. Nice problem to have, but that's a story for another preview.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Before we get to the main event, which are, as you say, assuming is going to be Moxley versus Garcia, the layout of Rampage is sort of similar to last week in terms of, like you say, have this, we assume, huge boy-popping opener and then effectively a squash. That's what Jade Cargill previewed. You know, last week we had Miro versus Fuego del Sol. This week we've got Jade Cargill versus Kira Hogan. I'm very excited to see Jade Cargill back on AEW TV. And I hope... I keep pitching her as this winner of the Casino Battle Royal at All Out. I hope this is the first step on the road to a potential title match for her, because just look at her. I mean, in terms of, like you say, casual fans tuning in for CM Punk, they see, A, what, you know, guys like Private Party and Jurassic Express, and particularly like the reaction to Jungle Boy, you see that, you're like, well, what's all this about? You know, in terms of hooking people in. You've got Moxley in the main event and Daniel Gossi, who's phenomenally talented. And then you just need to show someone Jade Cargill, and they're like, what's going on here? Because I think a lot of people, if they dipped out of wrestling 5-10 years ago, their preconceptions about female wrestlers, yes, or divas, if you want to even go that far back, would be shattered just by Jade Cargill walking out.
Absolutely. The only reservations I have ahead of this match, and I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer because I think the main event's going to be awesome, but just permit my cynicism and my balance very, very quickly. Jade Cargill had a shocker in like a 2-minute match on Dark the other week. Really quite, like, how have you managed to do that in that amount of time? So this is a bit of a big risk. I don't expect it to be challenged. And, you know, she just came through a challenge in a singles match with Red Velvet on Dynamite. That was really underrated and overlooked, but that's the strength of the program in general. This is interesting because Kira Hogan has arrived, has decided herself not to re-sign with Impact. She is a prospect, so one would expect her to get at least one or two hope spots here. Mm-hmm. Shows tremendous fire, very raw, much like Cargill, which again invites further risk of something not great happening. Look, keep this one simple. I'd have no complaints if it followed the exact same template as Miro Fuego del Sol last week. Like, a babyface who's no match for the heel, but has the spirit to threaten to match her for a brief period. Keep it tight. Don't go too ambitious. Get one person over. Put another person over. I had an idea for this, and it's literally just popped into my head right now. It's very basketball stuff, this first dance. It's very Chicago sports hero stuff. They should have Shaq like go in the ring alongside Jade Cargill in building that main event. Because as we mentioned on the CM Punk specific podcast yesterday, if he's not appearing first, again, just to dampen any threat of, you know, defiance, they should just tease him. Like go-to-sleep teasers, Pepsi Plunge teasers. Like, someone can do the hand gesture. Like, someone from Private Party should do the hand gesture before they get their near-fall spot on Jurassic Express. If you have Shaq talk about how the Lakers had a much better legacy than the Bulls did, and then, because the Lakers, as I understand it, were class in the 2000s. They were basically the Bulls of the 2000s to what the Bulls were in the 90s. If you say that, yeah, we didn't get the six. I think they only got the 5 rings as a franchise. Yeah, we didn't get the 6 rings, but, you know, competition was better, apart from the Bulls, of course, which completely dismantled as a franchise as soon as your beloved Michael Jordan left. That would tie beautifully into the theme. Mm-hmm. We know that Shaq and Cargill are friends. I'm going to be pissed off if this doesn't happen now.
I'll counter that by saying you could, if that's not possible, it's really simple to get Mark Sterling on the mic post-match, put her over and say, we've done this new collaboration with blah, blah, blah. And that's because Jade Cargill is the best in the world. Just simple stuff like that. And you, like you say, just more and more breadcrumbs for fans, even though we all know where this night is heading. And where it is concluding is, of course, that main event, we assume, John Moxley versus Daniel Garcia. Murray has been singing Daniel Garcia's praises for quite some time now. When he first popped up You know, for me on Dynamite or ahead of Dynamite and was teaming with 2.0, he and yourself said he's one to watch out for. And what a showcase this is going to be, although not a good time to be Daniel Gossier because Moxley seems mightily pissed off right about now.
Yeah, he seems incredibly pissed off. I'm bang up for this as a main event. And even if it's got like kind of a dark elevation quality, it is one of the better dark elevation matches. And, you know, it doesn't need a flagship match to sell this show. We know what's selling the show. Yeah, Gossier rules. John Moxley's in a pissed off mood. And this is what I love about this company in general. If there's any kind of thing that I'm not quite getting enough of or any of, or if there's one mistake that they make, they will always correct the mistake. They will always give me something I didn't know I wanted, like Yuji Nagata or 2.0, these incredible blasts of fan service. I'm not a big grapple guy. Mm-hmm. I love great technical wrestling, but I don't like indulgent grapple. And I don't think Daniel Gossier is. I think he's got more range as a performer. But for a while, I was campaigning of, when I was watching Ciampa and Thatcher on NXT, I was thinking, oh, I'd love some of that energy in AEW right now. It's one of the few things that the smorgasbord buffet of a show doesn't have. And in walks Daniel Gossier to give me precisely that. I expect this match to be hard-hitting, brutal. Moxley can grapple. I think you'll enjoy loving grappling with Gossier. Gossier's so great at little details. Like, he had a match with Matt Sydal on Dark and or Elevation. Like, another just 30-minute bonus content that they dropped on YouTube last night. And just the little things when Matt Sydal was doing a drop-down, he jumped over him and then thought, oh, he's lying down. I could stamp him in the head. Mm-hmm. Like, he's so great at making it feel like an unvarnished strategic scrap. Great grappler, great striker, makes it feel like a fight. He's got this really great, mean, nasty disposition about him that John Moxley has in abundance as well. I expect this to be a total and utter low-key banger, elevated by that crowd. This should be an awesome main event. And we've already talked about the angle that I think stems from it. If they're not doing that angle, I don't know what they're doing. And that's part of the joy. Mm. You just don't know. You think you know. You think you really know. But they've done such a great job, as we mentioned. MJF's teased it. Darby Allin's teased it. Kenny Omega's teased it. Moxley's teased it. Moxley teased it explicitly. Like, it felt like he wasn't cutting a promo on Garcia. Mm-hmm. He was cutting a promo on an incoming CM Punk. Does that mean the Darby Allin match isn't happening? If that's the case, why was Darby Allin described in the voiceover of the Rampage mm-hmm. preview as nearly becoming the best in the world? It's all just so tantalizing, and I don't want to do any more work for the day. Even in a dream job, because I just want the show to be here right now. And I think that speaks to what a wonderful job they've done of treating the fans' intelligence with such respect that they've just allowed them to live in basically no hyperbole, like a month-long dream, if you like.
Yeah, it's you know, they very cleverly, whether you believe that they orchestrated it or not, but they put the news came out, and like you say, it's been this slow, not necessarily realization, but slow sort of acceptance almost of like, it's actually happening, you know, and it isn't, you know, were they going to cut their legs out from under it at the last second, aside from, like, say, worst case scenario sort of things. I mean, it'll be intriguing to see what happens. Like you say, if Moxley Gossier opens the show and then suddenly our world's turned upside down. But that's also the fun of all of this. And I will say, obviously, Moxley, we assume Moxley goes over. But it's the match, it's the crowd, and it's also 2.0 who are just, you know, jawjacking with the crowd, with the ref, with Moxley. You just know exactly how this one's going to play out. So we're going to be very exciting. Finally, I want to try to avoid too much WWE AEW stuff, as always. But WWE this week did the old ex-boyfriend. I'm not bothered. I'm not even bothered. So not. I've got new people I like anyway now, so I've moved on. Do you think there's any way? I mean, I'm not going to say. I've written here, will WWE try to counter program? I sincerely doubt they're going to go, well, one more hour of SmackDown tonight or something. But do you sense that they're going to react to this or in advance of this, perhaps?
I don't know what moves they've got left in that company. They've already brought back Goldberg. They've already brought back John Cena. They've got one thing left, and that's Becky Lynch. Do they bring back Becky Lynch? And I don't think they do, to be honest. I think that happens at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Do they bring it forward just to dampen the hype? Or are they self-aware enough to realize, hang on, we are going to indirectly make people resent or be underwhelmed by Becky Lynch because I mean, people love Becky Lynch. She's a massive star. But at the same time, it's like, no one's going to care about Becky Lynch if, in fact, this Rampage is executed as well as we think it's going to be. Why throw her to the wolves just to be petty? When those words come out of my mouth, the answer follows. Oh, because Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see it happening. That's the only move they've got left. They will bury her implicitly by doing it. The thing is, like, I know Roman Reigns and CM Punk have been working, but Roman Reigns must know that CM Punk did a lot for him when he was in the Shield. John Cena and CM Punk have a lot of professional respect, and they both have power in WWE. If there was any rumblings of Vince McMahon, like, spoiling the surprise, Eric Bischoff 1996 style, I don't think they would go for it. I honestly don't think they would go for it. And look, the lessons learned from Chris Jericho appearing on Broken Skull Sessions, surely they've been absorbed. Like, they got a lot of publicity on the back of that. Why advertise the competition? I just can't see it happening. They've got no moves to make, and they've got people, they've got wrestlers, talent in positions of power to just say, I'm not going along with any kind of undermining scheme. And I don't think Becky Lynch should be having it. It's like, no. Like, she's got power as well. Like, she'll have persuasive powers to just rebook any kind of bad creative idea, and debuting or returning, rather, ahead of something much more seismic. Like, she's a businesswoman. She's not going to say, all right, okay, Vince, I'll do whatever you want. She'll say, no, no one's going to give it a toss. Why waste it then? They've got no moves to play, and they don't have the appetite among those who could potentially play them.
I just love the idea of Roman Reigns beating up a jobber called Phil Brooks on SmackDown. I genuinely could see that happening 100% because they're so bloody petty.
But Heyman's there as well. Like, you know, Heyman's a massive, ardent CM Punk guy. You know, imagine they still chat, and they, like, Heyman might say to Punk, you know, I'll give you some free advertising if I bury you. Something like that might happen, but it's all Carney and brothering. Nothing seismic they've gotten out left. It's in the mud.
It is a great weekend to be a wrestling fan, though. So much to look forward to and enjoy this weekend. But let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
MSidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. And join Andy and Ben Roy for our Rampage live stream tonight on the YouTube channel, of course. We'll be dealing with all the fallout from this in the coming days. It's busy time. Give us time. We'll get around to all of it, I promise. But for now, this has been the AEW Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.